A people without the knowledge of their past history, origin, and culture is like a tree without roots. And this week's opening quote comes from Marcus Garvey. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. In any attempt to really comprehend the human condition, in any attempt to heal the human condition, in any attempt to define the human experience, it's essential for us to know what we are, to know where we came from, and to know what our true relationship to this realm we inhabit really is. And in order for that to happen, we need to gain a clear understanding of our history, how we got here, because that will help define what future we are going to move into. You know, understanding where we came from and what happened to put us into this situation we're in is clearly needed, because without that understanding, you can have no real concept of what your possible futures are. If you don't know how you got here, then how do you know where you're going? I really don't want to be offending anybody with this concept, and I hope people can just put their belief systems aside for the moment and consider the possibilities. And many people may have foregone conclusions of all of those questions because of books they may have read. Many people will say, well, it's all in the Bible. It's all there. I don't need to investigate it. But really, that's not first-hand knowledge at all. And ultimately, when it all comes down to its bare bones, all we really know is that which we can perceive around us, that which we can experience for ourselves. That's all we can truly confirm, and it always will be. The thing is, we know that everything has been manipulated. We know everything has been corrupted. We know all of our information has been changed. Our history has been changed. We know we're fed rubbish in every form it comes in from the system. We know everything's been controlled and co-opted. We know there's been many occasions where books have been rewritten, information has been changed. We know we're manipulated. We know everything is controlled. And yet something that I find fascinating is that through all that, people will consider the possibility of everything being wrong, but they will never ever consider the possibility that the Bible may perhaps have been changed as well. And that perhaps the Bible may contain forms of manipulation. I mean, there's many that do consider this, but many Christians simply don't perceive it to be any type of possibility. They will readily admit that everything has been corrupted except this one book. This one book has managed to survive the ravages of time. No one's ever adulterated any word in it, and it remains the true word of God. That's what many people believe, and I find it to be an interesting concept that people will often not consider the possibility that certain messages within the Bible have been manipulated, and that the Bible itself could be actually part of the entire control grid. And really, folks, if you're going to be open about it and be objective about it and really look at the teachings of Christ, he didn't appear to be too happy with the church at the time. He didn't really have too many good things to say about them or the things that they were supporting or the teachings they were offering people. He didn't suggest that the way to salvation could ever be found through the church. He didn't really support the church in any way, shape or form. He didn't really have a religion. And that's not me just saying that. It's just a simple matter of fact. If you read the Bible, we don't find that he supported any of these things. And I know there's probably some people out there that won't like that statement. They are pretty well locked into their belief system and they may find it offensive, but I don't mean to offend anyone at all. I'm simply trying to look at things objectively, because what I find with a lot of these sorts of books is that people will sit there and say, oh, well, this is what's going to happen, and they'll just sit back and they'll wait for it to happen. And they won't do anything to prevent it happening. And they won't really look any deeper, and very often not ever even consider the possibility that what they may be subject to is predictive programming. I mean, what if that's all a lot of this stuff is? What if that's what a lot of the end times predictions are? They're simply predictive programming so that we will sit back and allow the world to be destroyed around us in the belief that when it all gets too bad to handle, something's going to happen to save us. When really we have opportunities all through the entire procedure to save ourselves. Just thought I'd put that out there. I don't mean to offend anyone. But anyway, you think about it, with the concept of them recycling history the way I've been alluding to lately. If you were really doing this, if you were going through these recycling processes every few hundred years, you were demolishing civilization and then creating a new one, this would be the perfect way to do it, to put these religious concepts into people's minds. I mean, with what you're doing with the mining, things are going to get so bad on the earth anyway that everyone's going to believe that there must be this terrible evil force that's doing it all, because there's no way this could be normal. And you make things so bad that people have no other option than to sit there and believe that God and angels are coming to save them. And you do this every cycle. And they expect things to get worse and worse and worse during the process, and they just sit back and allow it to happen in the mistaken belief that they're going to be saved. When really it's us that's doing all of the destruction. I mean, as Carl Jung said, man is the origin of all coming evil. And whether that evil comes from the mind of man or not, it certainly comes from the actions of man. It comes from our actions in the destruction of our environment and the destruction of each other in order to support the corporate model, the economic model. That's what rules our lives. And if we can step away from that, then the whole system will collapse and we won't have to have end times or any of this stuff. But even in saying that, I have to really say that something I find incredibly disturbing with some Christians is their desire for the end times to come about. Now, I've met Christians people who claim they are Christians anyway, whose hearts are literally so black that they are really looking forward to the end times. They're looking forward to fire and brimstone and the wrath of God. They are thinking in glee of how all the sinners will burn in fire. And they're really wanting to see this. They really want to see the people around them suffer. And that is something that I find incredibly disturbing as well. You know, many Christians actually want to see death and destruction and war and bloodshed because they believe it will bring about their salvation, even though their hearts are so black that they wish to see others suffer, just so they can show the world how right they were. It's a very, very disturbing mentality that I see in some people, and it really is not the type of mentality I think the Christ figure would be asking them to display. It's certainly not the type of character that he displayed in his teachings. And there's some people that will debate whether he even existed and blah, blah, blah. And whatever, folks, I'm not here to split hairs. I'm just here to look at things a little bit objectively and provide a perspective that I believe may help people to perhaps see things a little more clearly and unite with those around them, because that's what we need to do. And in considering the statement by Carl Jung that man is the source of all coming evil, you know, wherever you think evil may come from, whether you think it comes from negative polarized energy, whether you think it comes from Satan, whether you think it's the Archons, whatever it is, whatever your concept of where this comes from, it still is carried out in this 3D realm by the hand of man, through our tolerance of wrong behavior, through our unwillingness to step into our own personal power and to see the fiction that rules us. You know, most people will run through their lives at 90 miles an hour, going absolutely nowhere, doing everything at breakneck speed, running, always in a rush, never want to be late, but they're doing absolutely nothing. Everything they're doing is completely and utterly meaningless. Now, most of the business activities we get up to are completely and utterly meaningless. It's all about finding better ways and more efficient ways to collect paper, to collect the digital credits we need to pay to be alive. We're taught to walk in certain ways and talk in certain ways and dress in certain ways and present ourselves in certain ways and create these businesses that look in a certain way and function in a certain way, and it's got to be trendy and it's got to be this, and you've got to have the nice pamphlets and the nice look, and you've got to attract the clientele, and all of this rubbish. It's rubbish. It's just recycling all this rubbish to each other that we don't need at all to live our lives. Most of the stuff that we sell and buy and stuff we do, we don't need to live a life as a human being. We really don't. And it's all completely meaningless. But all of this destruction that comes as a result of this behavior all comes from our hand, through our belief in authority, through our tolerance of wrong behavior due to this belief in authority. And as I've said so often, government is simply racketeering, these governments facing off against each other to create these theatres of conflict when there are no real enemies on Earth. It's just governments creating mayhem because that's what they do. And all of it provides the theatre of distraction that is needed to keep people from ever really noticing what's around them, to keep them in fear of everybody else in the world, and keep them so worried about their future that they must keep busy running on the treadmill in order to secure the paper they need to be able to survive. And because they're forced to do this, and they're forced to live their lives in such a state of scarcity, in such a state of fear of the future, and fear of everything around them, they tolerate wrong behavior, they tolerate all of this injustice they see in the world, as long as they've got their job and their perceived ownership of wherever it is that they live, or some form of security of that roof being there in the morning, then they've got their little rock to cling to, and they just ignore what's going on around them. They tolerate it because it's what gets them through. And they also tolerate it because they live in fear of ever saying anything about it, ever standing up against it. They live in fear of the terrorism that may be inflicted upon them by their governments should they ever question the actions of these people. And it's an interesting thing, you know, when you look around the world, folks, you see that in every country you go to, people live in fear of ever being invaded by the people next door, but they also, at the same time, live in the same fear of those who govern their own country. They live in fear of the people who exist across the border, they live in fear of their neighbours, and they live in fear of their own governments. And in the case of their governments, what they do to alleviate that fear is they pay protection money. They pay protection money by walking between the lines and always doing what the government says so the government doesn't send their thugs around to arrest them and take them off and put them in a cage. That's what we do, folks. And as I've said so often, it's racketeering. And when you look at wars, what is war? War is two governments facing off against each other and basically holding each other hostage and saying, well, if you don't allow me to conduct this hostile takeover of your country, I'm going to bomb your citizens, I'm going to bomb your people until you let me do it. It's basically using terrorist tactics in order to carry out business practices, because all of it is run by a corporate system anyway. And most of the time, if it's not about depopulation, these wars are simply hostile takeovers of other countries and replacing the corporate puppet that's in there with a new set of corporate puppets. And what they do in order to do this is they terrorize the population of each country. I'm going to keep killing your people until you step down and allow me to replace you with someone else. I'm going to just keep killing random civilians until you do what I say. That's what war is, folks. It's one big scam, and all of these governments work together to create this theater of conflict anyway, simply so they can oppress their people. It's a scam. All of it keeps us distracted, all of it keeps us in fear, and all of it is one big puppet show. It's one big theatrical, contrived situation by criminals who are masquerading as governments in all of our countries, and these are people we simply don't need. And they exist, again, due to our tolerance of wrong behavior and our willingness to simply pay protection money and allow this all to happen while most people just continue to cling to that previously mentioned rock. And people never realize that were they to stop supporting it and to actually start supporting the people around them, the entire system of slavery that makes them cling to that rock would cease to exist. You know, everybody in society is clinging to their own rock and they're not really seeing that it's all part of the same environment. And if we were to just support each other, we wouldn't have to cling to these rocks. It's only because the government makes us do this that all this happens. As I've said so often, every problem that we face, every hardship we experience in the world exists because it's legislated to exist. And all of it is designed to keep us distracted from what's going on around us, to allow the toleration of evil, to allow the perpetuation of evil, and to prevent us from ever really asking the real questions as to who we are, where we come from, how we got here, and where we're going. But look at all of this entire system logically, folks. If you're living in a country where you are in fear of other countries coming to terrorize you, and you are also in fear of stepping outside the lines that are provided for you by your own government, then where does all this come from? Why would you be in fear of another country coming to attack you? Because there's no people in any other country who want to come and attack you. It's just the governments who contrived this situation to create a theater of conflict between two countries so the populations in those two countries will be in fear of the neighbors and think that their government is needed to protect them. But both governments do it. And while they're living in that situation, they're living in fear of their own government at the same time, in fear of stepping outside of any lines, in fear of everything. But if the government wasn't there, then they wouldn't be in fear of the neighbours, the people across the border, because they wouldn't have a government either, and the two governments wouldn't be facing off against each other, and so you wouldn't be living in fear of your neighbours, and you wouldn't be living in fear of your own government. The only reason you live in this state of fear is because the government exists, and that's what government is designed to do. That's what it's for. It's designed to create these theatres of conflict and these theatres of control. You know, it's a big scam, folks. The whole thing is completely unnecessary. Yeah, something remarkable if you look at tribal traditions and shamanistic cultures, traditions in the South American jungle and places like this. When the Westerners arrived and they would come to a tribe in the jungle and they would be trying to commandeer their land and get control of their land somewhere, they would ask them where the border of their land was. And the tribes never understood the concept. What do you mean the border? You mean where our land stops? What do you mean our land? They never understood the concept of what you meant by a border, because there are no borders. These are constructs. And they finally figured out that what the Westerners meant was, where is the meeting place where you meet the people from the next tribe? Because they will wander so far and you wander so far, and you get to a point where you start meeting people from the other tribe, so you know, well, this is basically where you go to meet others. And that's when they finally got it, and they said, oh, you mean the meeting place. And they never really understood that as a border. It was just the meeting place where you would go to meet the other people of the other tribe, to trade with the other people of the tribe, to communicate with the people of the other tribe. The people of the other tribe weren't any threat to you unless they wanted to come and steal your women. This used to happen sometimes. Happens in all cultures. But it was a meeting place. It wasn't a border. There was no concept of borders. And the whole point is, folks, that we don't need government, because every problem we face in the world has been manufactured for us by government. And when you look at that and you really see that and you realize that all of the lines that constrain you, everything that holds you back, everything that creates wars, everything that creates hardship, everything that creates the mechanism needed for environmental destruction to be carried out, and the loopholes and all this stuff that happens, everything that stops us standing up against this environmental destruction, everything that stops us addressing the problems that we face, is all legislated to be there. It all exists because government exists. And they use terrorist tactics to enforce their will upon the people all the time, intimidation through the threat of violence or the threat of being locked up in a cage by police who are supposed to be there to protect society. They're not there to protect society. They're there to enforce regulations that are put there by criminals. Because that's what government is, folks. It's a criminal enterprise. It's a worldwide criminal enterprise, and they all work together. Now, government is there to control and curtail and corral the people while the world is strip-mined around them. That's what it's for. Now, it really is high time people started figuring this out. And I guess many more people are beginning to figure it out, which is why this whole smart grid, this whole 5G system is being rolled out. But we're getting very close to the end of a cycle, folks. I think that these cycles end once people begin to wake up. It's very easy for them to bring about these cataclysms by design and to simply wipe out the population whenever they want to. An interesting thing, when I was speaking at AV8 last year in England, I might have mentioned to you on a radio show that I was speaking to an engineer who builds bridges. And he'd always been building bridges that were designed to last 100 years. Everything that you build, a building, a bridge, whatever, has a 100-year lifespan just for safety reasons. But the bridges and buildings that he's building now, he's been told to build them with a 15-year lifespan. And I think that's a very telling piece of information. I saw him again at AV9 and he confirmed, yes, we're still building these bridges with a 15-year lifespan. So in the concept of them recycling civilizations the way I've been suggesting lately, that's certainly something to think about. You know, we're in a real situation here, ladies and gentlemen. We really are. And As I've pointed out so often, and as I pointed out in my 2005 book, as I've been pointing out right since the very beginning, our history is anything but true. What we've been told simply is not the truth. And they've hidden our history for a reason, and it's important that we find out what happened. It's important that we find out what the past really is. Because we do have a situation here, and it is a situation that is healable. I mean, we could fix this. People think that the world is just so dark and the Leviathan is so big that we can never stop it, but we can, because we are what holds it up completely and solely. It is due to our participation in the system. Now, it really is a house of cards, and we could turn this into a very, very different world very, very quickly if we were to simply realize that. And the problem that I see with religion, as I was saying before, is that there are many, many people within religions who simply allow all of this to happen. They tolerate all this wrong behavior because they believe it must happen. And very, very few of them actually follow the teachings of the individuals that the religions were modeled after, most especially in the case of Christianity. Christ showed the people the way out. Christ rebelled against the system. Jesus Christ was an activist when all is said and done. If he wasn't an activist, you would never have heard of him. And he demonstrated to the people what needed to be done. He rose up. He made a stand against the government, and he was able to make stands against the government all the time until he stood up against the Jewish money changers, and then he was dead within a week, murdered by the police, as is what happens to many activists. But he did show you the way, and there's no reason for everybody to get murdered by the police if we were to all stand together. And that is, I would suggest, what he would want the Christians to do. That was the example that he was offering, and that was the example he wished others to follow. What I find that prevents people from doing this is either their fear of the government, their need to support the economic model, their fear of what may happen if they step away from it, or their unwillingness to act in their blind belief that if they simply believe and allow the world to turn to darkness around them, eventually someone will come and save them. They'll pay attention to the teachings of Christ, but somehow believe that the words he said, when he basically said, if you think I'm great, wait till you see what you can do, simply don't apply to them. When really they do, I think that the spirit that Christ tried to show people exists within the heart of everybody if they would just choose to see it there and to embrace it and to put it into action and to walk that path. If everybody simply stepped away from the system and walked that path, then the system would cease to function. If you don't feed the beast can't live, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't give it any energy, then it can't exist. If you cut off its oxygen, then it can't breathe. And we provide all of those things to this beast system simply by our choice to do so. And it's an unfortunate thing, because the reality is that we could step away from it very, very easily. We could step back to something more like a Vedic culture. It would be quite easy to do so. It may take about a generation to really pull it off and get it happening again, but it really wouldn't be that long. We could quite easily do it, even with the degraded and dysfunctional state the world is in today. If we simply pulled our support away from government and put our support back towards each other and towards the community and towards restoring this earth that we live on to some of its more functional capabilities in regard to supporting life, that is, then we'd be in a far better place, and I think we could do it quite quickly. I really do. All it would take would be a little bit of focus and for people to have some true awareness of just how much they are being manipulated by this system and how much all of this entire situation has been controlled by governments which ceased to act in the best interest of the people long, long ago, if they ever did. And personally, I don't think that was ever their job. I don't think that's what governments were constructed to do. I think the whole damn thing is one big crime family. And all you got to do is look at the earth and look at the state of the earth and look at what these people do with their legislation and their wars and everything these people do. I can't see how government has benefited our societies in any way, shape or form ever since the inception of government. I can't see how these people have done anything good for us at all. And you might say, oh, they brought us roads and they brought us this and they brought us that. No, all those things have been brought to us by workers who have worked and built those things. and we didn't need government to do any of it. All government did was get in the way of things being done properly and make sure things are done haphazardly. So we have to keep redoing them so that everything breaks down. Everything needs constant repair. Everything needs constant changing so that we're all kept constantly in a state of scarcity. So we all have to run on the treadmill and never pay attention to what's going on around us. And it's the same with everything that they do, folks. It's the same with the education system. They could go and teach you life skills and the stuff that you need to know in a matter of weeks, but they don't. They stretch it out over years and years of these courses that cost you thousands upon thousands of dollars, and they fill your head full of so much unnecessary stuff. It's really not about the topic that you've gone to study at all. And, of course, they do that so that they can compartmentalize all the information so you don't have enough time in your life to study all the things you need to be a real human being and to know everything about everything, because you just don't have time to, because you've got to spend 100 weeks on learning something that would take 1 week to learn. And so you've got to waste years and years of your life learning one thing. And so you never really get time to learn the things you should know. That's what it's all about, folks. It's all distraction and it's all designed to be that way. You know, back in the old days, one of the things I used to trade with people was receipts. And these receipts were recipes. That's where the word receipt comes from. That's why it's spelt with a P, receipt, like a recipe. And a receipt was a skill, because you might go and do work for someone and they would give you a receipt for your work. Perhaps you went to build a fence for someone and they would give you a recipe on how to make a glue from certain saps from trees. You go somewhere else, someone would need a recipe for glue. You would give them this recipe for glue. They would give you a recipe of how to build a cartwheel. And that's how it used to work. So we used to trade life skills, and that was a form of currency, and I think that is a far more beneficial currency than anything we're looking at today. It beats the hell out of cryptocurrency, that's for sure, but it also beats the hell out of fiat currency, and it also far transcends anything like silver or gold, because really skill in life is something that is an immeasurable value, and gaining skill in life, whether it's skill of how to do things or skill of how to be who and what we are, is far more valuable than silver or gold or any of the other stuff that we choose to trade. These are all things that we give value to, but they're nothing that really serves us. You can have as much gold as you want. You can't build a house with it and you can't eat it unless you want to trade it with someone else who can supply those things for you. It's far better to have those skills yourself, and then you don't need anything to trade except more skills in order to gain more skill for yourself. And that sounds like a real form of currency, almost like an integrity dollar, if such a thing could exist. But anyway, folks, I think we've reached break time, so I'll leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll be back to speak to you again in a few minutes. Don't go away. There's plenty more to come. Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, so the concept of no government, it's an interesting thing for most people to even consider. Incidentally, there's a village or a town in Mexico which has decided it would be a good idea. In 2011, the town of Caran decided that they were just too oppressed by the crime gangs that were running their town. They correctly identified these crime gangs as being managed by politicians and the police, and so they abolished the government in their town and they kicked out all of the politicians and police and have been living a peaceful existence, a peaceful voluntarist society ever since 2011. The town is maintained and patrolled by armed militia who are residents of the town. They also maintain checkpoints for those entering the town, any strangers entering the town, and check the vehicles for contraband. The contraband being anything that displays or contains propaganda supporting the state. And I think that is wonderful. That is the correct thing to mark as contraband. And you might not like the idea of armed militia patrolling the town and protecting the town, and I kind of agree with that because I don't really like the concept of men with guns being anywhere. But this is really a temporary necessity, because the fact of the matter is that in the current situation, such people would be needed to protect the town against, guess who? The government, who may want to take the town back. And that's another interesting point as well. If you didn't have the government and the criminal enterprise that is government still in place in Mexico, then you wouldn't need the armed militia. Although you'd probably have a few of them around anyway, just in case any citizens from other towns got a little bit out of control. It's kind of sensible to do this, but they wouldn't need them to the extent that they have, and they wouldn't need to secure the borders of the town and check people coming in for government propaganda if government didn't exist. And in all due fairness, these are local inhabitants of the town anyway, and if all the local inhabitants were armed, then you wouldn't need the militia anyway. You would have a natural militia simply because each household was armed. So, of course, there's going to be no crime because everywhere you go, people are going to be able to defend themselves. That's the way it works. And the beauty of constructing societies like this all over the world would be that in a number of generations, in a very short time, you wouldn't even need to have a local militia, you wouldn't need to have people armed, because without the interference of politicians and police, everyone would be living in their natural state of abundance, and they wouldn't have governments to defend themselves against anyway. Which is what creates the need for firearms to exist in the first place. Yeah, but an interesting thing anyway, the town of Querán in Mexico, where they have removed governments, politicians and police, and the town is doing quite well, folks. They've been doing this for the last 7 years, and they're doing great. No government, no crime, violence has been reduced to virtually zero, and there's virtually no major crime at all since kicking out the government, politicians and police. So it's very easy to see where all of these social problems come from, folks. It comes from the people who manage the social structure themselves, because it benefits them to create these problems, because they get kickbacks from the problems, and it also creates the illusion that we actually need these people to protect us. But really what they're protecting us from is all the problems that they create and all the crime that they create. It's standard racketeering tactics, folks. It's a protection racket, and it always has been. I mean, what is the main activity of government? That is, when they're not creating laws which curtail and inhibit your movements, what is the main things that they get up to? Think about it. It's standover tactics, and it's terrorism, and it's classic racketeering. Think about it. Back in the old days, back in the 30s, when these racketeers and standover men used to control the flow of business, they come to your store and they say, well, we wouldn't want anything violent to happen to your store. If you pay me money, I'll make sure nothing violent happens to you. And if you didn't pay them money, they'd send their own men around to smash the hell out of your store. So everything would be destroyed. They destroy your business. They destroy your life. What does government do? Government comes along and says, you need to pay us this money. And if you don't, we're going to destroy your business. Basically, that's what they say. Taxes, all of these rules and regulations they put in place, it's all extortion. It's all preventing you from doing things unless you do them their way and follow their rules and pay them money to do it. You've got to pay them money so they can control what you do and limit your potential. It's quite classic the way they do it. And you've got to do it that way, or they send their standover men around to basically destroy your business and destroy your life. This is classic racketeering. This is what government does. It's a crime gang, folks, and they use standover tactics, terrorism, and racketeering to control the population. Government in its most basic form is racketeering in its most basic form. And that's the way it works in all of our countries, folks. It doesn't matter what country you come from, that is the way the government operates in your country. And if you look at it and expand it and put it on a worldwide stage, it's the way it works internationally as well. It's a protection racket. They create problems. Someone decides to be the enemy. Someone else decides to be the good guy. The good guy, the bad guy. And with the good guy and the bad guy, I mean, it's all subjective anyway. Whichever country you're in is portrayed as the good guy, and whichever country you're not in is portrayed as the bad guy. And it's always the same with economics. It's always better where you are than where everywhere else is. You don't want to go there because it's better here. And it's the same in every country. This is what they tell every country. But wherever you are, it's always you who is the good guys, and you're attempting to fend off the other countries and protect yourself from the other countries who are all the bad guys. But really, it's just the governments in the other countries creating these conflicts between each other, and it's a protection racket to give the citizens the concept and keep them in the mindset that they actually need the government there to protect them from the other country. But it isn't the other country, it's just the other government, which has created this whole theater of conflict. And it's the same, it doesn't matter which country you go to, they all tell you the same thing. We must secure our borders, we must have a strong military, we must do all this stuff to protect us from these other countries who all want to invade us. It doesn't matter where you go. Nobody wants to go to war. Nobody wants to invade you. It's just the governments. They do the whole thing, and it's a protection racket. Standard protection racket tactics in every country, and standard worldwide protection racket tactics in the face of everybody else. but all the governments work together to do it. That's why they have meetings in the UN, they have meetings in the Bilderberg Group, they put these banking situations in all countries, these central banks, so that people are all in scarcity and all running on the treadmill, haven't got time to really look at what's going on, believe what they're told by the newspapers, believe what they're told by the television about all this theatre of conflict, how it's all dangerous everywhere else. It's complete and utter rubbish, the entire thing. It's theatre. And if you really want to put it in a nutshell, reduce it to a soundbite, what we've got is a criminal gang that has established itself as a worldwide criminal network masquerading as governments that are running a protection racket. That's what we've got. And really, if you step back and look at it, that describes the entire world political situation. Politics is theatre, folks. It's a protection racket, the whole thing. It's racketeers using terrorism against their population in order to coerce them into compliance so they can milk every single piece of wealth that they have and control and curtail and contain them within this smart grid so they can sit there and harvest all they want, commit all the pedophilia they want, and just continue to revel in their own self-imposed criminal glory. That's what politics is. It's a joke. It's about time we pulled ourselves away from it. I'd like to see every election, just don't go. Don't go. Don't go and show up. Don't give your support to these people. Don't go and vote. There's no reason to vote. Government is organized crime, and all you're doing by voting is appointing a new CEO to the crime family. Stop participating in it, folks. Pull your attention away from these people. Pull your energy away from these people and start supporting each other. And don't buy into all this divisionist rubbish. Everybody's an operative. Everybody's this. Everybody's that. No, folks. We're all in the same position now. We all need to start working together and respecting each other. And respecting each other's differences, allow people to think different things. It doesn't matter. We're all facing the same problem. And once we can establish some sort of freedom, well, perhaps we can stop arguing about things because we'll have the freedom to put all of these mysteries to rest. But while we continue to ignore that reality and continue to fight and distrust each other and argue about the details of this prison we're living in, all we do is continue to perpetuate the prison, and we are not focusing on what has caused the prison to begin with and how easy it would actually be to achieve freedom if we just put our differences aside and get a little bit of focus. And that's what I've been trying to convince people to do for a very long time now. And I guess the message must be getting out to more and more people, because I'm certainly getting trolled a lot again lately. There's been a fresh wave of flat earther trolls who have been hitting my videos very, very hard lately. So I guess the message is making a difference, because that's what happens. Every time you start making a difference, people attempt to distract you from what you're doing. They attempt to shift your focus back into a stance of self-defense, where you're constantly fending off trolls, rather than in a stance of forward motion and a stance of progressive activism, a stance of positive action. They don't want you doing that. They don't want you spreading a message that works. They want you arguing and defending yourself, which is very revealing. So I guess the message is getting out to a lot more people, and that's very gratifying. It's almost good to see the trolls, because you can measure your degree of success and the degree of how much you're reaching people as to how much you're getting trolled. Because as the saying goes, folks, you don't get the flack if you're not over the target. And look, in all due respect, there are a lot of people that are researching Flat Earth who are genuine, good people who have good intentions and who don't troll. I've got many Flat Earthers who watch my videos. They're quite good, reasonable people. There's not a problem with them at all. But there's this certain percentage of incredibly toxic people who just go out of their way to spread as much distrust as they can and spread as much disinformation as they can and muddy the waters. People claiming that flights across the Southern Ocean are fake, and I faked all these flights to South America, and all this sort of rubbish that people spread, which is completely untrue and provably untrue. So there's a certain element within the Flat Earth community which is incredibly toxic, and they do so much damage to any progression the movement is trying to make, and to other activists as well. I mean, anybody who's attempting to make a difference, they tend to troll them and tie them up in infighting as much as possible, and, as I said, cause people to shift their stance to one of self-defense and basically put their activism on the shelf for the moment because they're so busy defending themselves. And that's always what trolls are about. That's what trolls are for, folks. That's why they do it. And there's a huge CIA program to attack anybody who is spreading a good message. And so if you are getting trolled, folks, it's important that you realize this. There are definite controlled agendas to troll people, and to tie them up in infighting and to prevent them from ever moving forward. So it's best to just make maybe a couple of comments and then not get too tied up in what these people are trying to spread. The really interesting thing about trolls, though, is that all they ever serve to do is strengthen my resolve. The more people try to browbeat me into a certain way of thinking, the more I will stand defiant and think my own way. I just don't do authority, folks, and that's the way it's always been. I've always had a problem with people telling me what to do. I've always had a problem with people telling me what to think, and I just don't do authority, irrespective of what direction it comes from. And that's what many of these trolls do. I mean, the ones that aren't government agents, the ones that have simply been programmed into trolling by whatever belief system they've been convinced into adopting, this is what they do. They're just really attempting to exert their perceived authority over you and browbeat you into compliance. And I just don't do browbeating, I don't do fear, and I don't do authority. And they're all really the same thing, or they're all related anyway. This is why I don't follow any religion, I don't follow any doctrine, I don't prescribe to any government system, I don't prescribe to any belief system at all. Belief is the enemy of knowledge, and I have always been secure and confident in my own connection to the Creator, to God, whatever you want to call it. I've always followed my own path that connection has led me, and that path has always remained true, it has always been good to me, and it has always led me to exactly where I'm supposed to be. Even if it's an uncomfortable situation, it's where I'm supposed to be in order to get the knowledge and the information and the experience that I need to continue on the path and have that knowledge with me on the way. Because down the track, I'm going to find that I need it. And this has always happened, always, always in my life has this happened. So I don't take on anybody else's concept of what reality is, anybody else's concept of what my connection to the Creator should be, or anybody else's concept of how I should achieve that direct connection to the Creator. That connection already exists within me. It already exists within you. It exists within everyone. And there's no reason for us to follow the creed of anybody else and to stray from our own path, because if you're true to yourself and you follow your own path, it will not lead you astray. It will lead you to where you're supposed to be. It will provide for you the information you need to discover the truths you need to know for your own journey and your own progression through this realm. And it works for everybody. I guess it's what the Hindus refer to as Dharma. Finding your path of Dharma, where everything works, everything meshes, the cogs of the machine just fit together, and the path unfolds before you. And you do this by doing the right thing in the right way at the right time for the right reason. You might ask yourself, what is right? Well, does it follow the one law of creation, which is unconditional love and service to creation, which is not service to others at the expense of yourself, not service to yourself at the expense of others, not service to the human race at the expense of the earth, not service to the earth at the expense of the human race, not service to animals at the expense of people or at the expense of the earth, but not service to either of the other at the expense of the animals or the trees or nature or anything. It's just thinking of everything as being part of consciousness, everything as being necessary to experience life, and seeing how it all works and fitting together and respecting life itself for what it is. Do that and you'll find your true path of Dharma. And if you do that, you'll find that there's absolutely no need for government. I really don't see how government fits into anybody's path at all. I don't see how it fits into the equation of balance in this world in any way, shape, or form. But we need to put down all of this stuff, folks. All these trolls need to really wake up to themselves and realize what they're doing. All they're doing is creating division, and it's the same for everybody. All these arguments lead nowhere, folks. All the things that we're fighting about are all put there for us to fight about. All these mysteries exist because we're not free, and it's the argument itself which prevents us from ever establishing the freedom which is needed to put the mystery to rest. So the arguments cancel themselves out. Trying to convince someone else of your belief system just cancels itself out. It's completely counterproductive. It doesn't achieve anything. What we need to do is establish the freedom so that we all know the truth. Then we won't need to have a belief system. Because you don't need to waste energy attempting to believe or even having to believe that which you already know. The problem is that we just don't know. And so everybody's got all these different ideas of what they believe, and they're all trying to convince everybody to think the way they do in the hope that we'll create this huge wave of belief, which will lead somewhere. I don't know what they're thinking, but it doesn't really achieve anything. All it does is perpetuate the division and thus perpetuate the prison. And it'll always be that way because belief is subjective. It doesn't matter how much you believe you know about anything. You'll always find someone else who's got a counter-argument and you'll waste your time arguing. And the reason this is happening is because you've claimed this is to begin with, rather than saying this is possible or this may be. You know, you don't convince anybody of anything or lead them to the truth by challenging their belief system. You do it by stimulating the urge within them to begin asking questions for themselves. You start to pique their interest in the topic. You just start suggesting, hey, what about this? Have you ever thought about things this way? And they respond a lot better. Gee, I hadn't thought about things that way. Possibly. It could be. Let's go look. But as soon as you say, this is, and someone else says, oh no, this is, that's it. You're just at loggerheads with each other and everybody wants to be right. No one is prepared to put their belief system down because they got too much invested in it simply by making the claim that this is to begin with. And that's why that type of argumentative mentality has been pushed into people, and it's such a play. And it would be great if people would just put their belief systems down and agree to disagree and work to establish the freedom to actually find out what the real truth is. And we were building to this about 3 years ago. There was a real wave of awareness and activism building, and then came the division, and the response has been stultified and divided ever since, full of distrust, full of operatives, and the system has been able to roll itself out at 3 times the speed it ever had, simply because people are wasting time with infighting, and it's very, very sad to see, because we've got a very short opportunity to turn things around, folks. We've got a very, very short window. Everything is coming down on us pretty well right now. And it's imperative that we pay attention and get a little bit of focus and remove this criminal cabal that's running things and replace the system we've got now with a little bit of sanity, a little bit of compassion, and a little bit of understanding towards each other. And people have to realize that everybody has been played. Everybody is in a state of delusion. Everybody has been programmed. Everybody has been fed a false reality. Stop judging people. They know not what they do. Just agree to disagree and follow the one law of creation. Unconditional love and service to creation. Do this and you'll heal the world in a day. And if you've got religious views about all this, then okay, fine. Substitute the word creation with the word God, with the word Heavenly Father, with the word the Lord, with the word Yahweh, with Yeshua, with Allah, with whatever you want to substitute it with, whatever your version of God or the Creator or creation is, because in the religious version of everything, in the religious concept of everything, in the religious concept of God, God is all creation. So if you are in service to creation, then you are in service to God anyway, by default. It's just in that recognition of all of creation's creatures, all of God's creatures, are of equal value and deserve equal respect and have equal right to be here. And the fact is that you don't need a religion or a book to do this. You don't need a religion or a book to simply love each other. Just love each other, folks. And if you really want to look at all your religious leaders, this is the message that they were attempting to give you. But nobody listened. Everybody went to the book. Everybody went to the church. Everybody went to all these other people who interpreted what these great leaders said. And no one listened to the words of the leaders themselves and simply walked that path. Do that and you'll change the world in a day. You know, in all the years that I've been researching all of this stuff and in all the years that I've been on the radio bringing this message to people, sometimes it does get incredibly frustrating that people cannot see the simplicity of the prison that enslaves them and the simplicity of how we could free ourselves from it. Yeah, the whole concept of mind control, the whole concept of a mind prison, everything that was put forth in the Matrix, that's really the way reality is. Only we're not lying in these tubes. It's all a prison of our minds simply by what we perceive to be real around us. And really, folks, look at the physical aspects of the world you live in and look at what constrains you in these physical aspects. It's really nothing there that constrains you at all. Perhaps there's fences and things that have been put there by the system. All of the things that constrain you are mental fences, mental prisons, just concepts of authority, belief that you cannot cross imaginary lines which really don't exist. And all great religious teachers, all great philosophers from the past, everybody has really brought you the same message that the prison that enslaves you is in your mind and that the way to freedom lies in your heart. If you can look within and find the true value of yourself, then the prison around you ceases to exist. It's really that simple. You know, and so much has been put here to keep us from ever looking in that direction and to keep us divided from all the people around us. That's what all these belief systems are about, folks. It's all about divide and conquer. That's what all the trolling is about. That's what all the different rabbit holes are about. Really, there's only one rabbit hole, and that is the fact that you are kept in a mental prison and the way to freedom lies within your heart, and the biggest asset you have is the people around you. And as I said, folks, all you really have to do is put down all the stuff and love each other. It's really not that hard because we're all in this together. Everyone's concerned. Everyone's afraid. Everyone needs a friend. Just love each other. Just love each other. Well, we've reached that time again, ladies and gentlemen, where it's the end of the show. Just to update you on a few personal movements, I've decided that I'm not going to go to the Azores after all. I'm not going to go and do the TED Talk. I'd like to reach that audience, but I'm just too exhausted from travel. I've really got to pay attention to my body. When I was in LA in May, I was going to go and do a whole bunch of stuff there. I was going to continue on to Peru. I was going to be continuing the adventures until October and come home in October, but I decided at the time I should listen to my body and come home for some rest and relaxation and recovery, really, recovery from so much travel. And listening to my body still, I think I was a little bit overzealous when I agreed to go and do the TED Talk. So unfortunately, I've had to cancel that, folks. I really do need to get some rest. And I still haven't heard back from Egypt about entry into Gaza, but that is still on the cards. If I can do that, I will definitely do that, regardless of whether I need rest or not. But that will depend on what I hear back from the Egyptian embassy. So apart from that, I'm not going to be doing any travel at all until next February, when I'll be going to Mexico to speak at the Anacapulco event. And incidentally, you'll find a banner to that on my website. And that's going to be quite a huge event, folks. There's a lot of people speaking there this year, including David Icke, I believe, is coming to speak at that event as well, which is quite an interesting addition. But if you would like to come and see me at that event at Anacapulco in February, I think it's February 17th, something around there, you'd have to look at the banner, maybe the 14th or the 17th, something like that. You can click that link on my website, thecrowhouse.com, and if you use the coupon CROWHOUSE, you will find that you'll get a discount on your ticket purchase. So that will be next year in February, and that is really the only speaking date that I've got booked for this year or next year. I really do intend to get some time at home and get my health back in order and get some work done on these freelance because I wanted to release them for quite a while. But that is it for me, folks. Thank you to all those who continue to send me so many kind emails and so many supportive comments on my channel. And do get out and spread the word in your own communities as best you can, folks. At least try to establish some unity with people around you in your communities and online as well. Forgive the trolls for what they do. Most of them are either agents or they're programmed to troll anyway. Trolling never helps anybody, doesn't get anywhere, doesn't achieve anything. Do forgive them. Half of it, I think, is just people mainly letting off steam through their own frustration. So don't be too hard on people. Do what you can to create some unity. And again, thank you for all the support you've shown me over the years. And a very special thanks, as always, to my Patreon supporters. I couldn't do any of this if it wasn't for you guys. So thank you again for all the support you've given me over the last 2 years. And I'll do my best to continue to deliver the goods as long as I remain standing. I'll just keep doing this till the wheels fall off, folks. I can't see any reason to stop. Well, not until mankind is free. Anyway, that is the mission. That is a mission that we're all on, and it's very important that we stay the course for the sake of our children, for the sake of the future of this species. It's very important that people put down all this stuff and stay the course, because the course leads to freedom, and that freedom is well within our grasp if we can just keep that focus on that goal. But that is it for me, folks. I'm now completely out of time. I look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh.